From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Dark Side.
Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Another great show for you today. My guests are DC and Hooks from the rambunctious Toronto dubstep duo Zed's Dead. You've heard countless classic remixes from the pair who have risen through the ranks to work with such luminaries as Diplo and Steve Aoki for Mad Decent and Dim Mach respectively. They tour with the likes of Porter Robinson and Arab Music and should have probably died on their most recent Graveyard tour, which took them to something like 70 plus dates. Ridiculous. Their new EP Adrenaline comes out next week, January 23rd, on Inspected Records, and it's a joy, an absolute joy to have them on the program today. So stick around, we have a great show for you.
First of all, the two of you are an utter mystery. All we know is that a couple of years ago, these ridiculous classic rock remixes started sprouting up all over the place, and your internet infamy was born. But we have to dig into your past. DC, let's start with you. I wonder, are you an instrumentalist by trade? Did you start on a traditional path with piano or guitar?
I guess like a little bit. When I was young, I took piano lessons and guitar lessons, but I never took it really too far.
Hooks, did you have a similar story?
Yeah, pretty much. We both listened to classic rock and stuff like that. Mostly our parents' records, and we used to sample that kind of stuff. When we started making electronic music, we sampled it in the same way we did for the hip-hop stuff. Just added drops to it.
Sure, sure. Let's back up a little bit. I mean, Canada has always been ahead of the U.S. in terms of electronic music. Tell me about what your first electronic music experiences were like. I imagine at the time that you were kids, the drum and bass scene was all the rage.
Do you remember Big Shiny Tunes 2? It was this compilation mix by Much Music that came out when I was a kid. And it had some tracks by, I believe, The Prodigy, and electronic music was kind of big that year, in like Breaks and the Fatboy Slim and that kind of stuff. So I guess that was the first stuff that I liked.
DC, was that the same for you?
I can't really remember. I mean, I remember hearing drum and bass a bit in high school. We were always like huge hip-hop heads, so we never really paid attention to the electronic scene too much until later. But I had like one friend who put me onto some drum and bass shit, and then I always sort of dug it. And then it wasn't until much later, though, that I actually started exploring all the different genres of electronic music. And it was actually more coming around to it through like electro house and house and stuff like that.
Sure, sure. So, yeah, let's talk about your start in hip hop production. Can you guys point to any major influences and say, yeah, we wanted to be like Timbaland or J Dilla? Or were you just students of the music and trying to cover as much ground as you could?
I mean, classic hip hop was definitely the huge influence for us to start getting into production, I think. Like Zach said, we used to listen to like a lot of classic rock and shit like that. But when we started getting into like the real kind of like classic side of hip hop, not just like the mainstream stuff. I mean, for me personally, when I started listening to dudes like Pete Rock and The Roots and like Wu-Tang Clan and shit, I was like, yeah, I want to make beats like that. Like, I want to make beats like DJ Premier and shit like that, you know?
Yeah, same for me. Also, got a shout out like RJD2 and DJ Shadow.
Yeah, for sure.
Those guys made me think it could be more than just making beats for rappers, which is what I kind of started out doing. But those guys made whole albums of instrumentals that were awesome. And yeah, I wanted to do that. Eventually, we did our own kind of take on that called Fresh Beats, but it wasn't quite on that level. I think it was still more catered towards like freestyles at parties and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was definitely a big inspiration for that album, though. I think without those guys sort of setting that path, we never would have done like an album like Fresh Beats.
So you were already looking to artists like RJD2 and realizing that, you know, there was more than easy, simple, sample-based beats and hooks, that you would potentially be adding a vocal or a rapping layer to, you already saw your productions as moving in a direction that was more precise and more maybe melody driven and had just really packed more oomph than the typical hip hop beat.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you want to showcase your skills as a producer and stuff like that, and take it to the next level at some point. I think everybody sort of, I guess there's a lot of people out there who probably just make beats solely for the with the MC in mind and stuff like that. But I think we always sort of wanted to put our production to the forefront, and I guess that's why we were really intrigued by electronic music, because it's, you know, practically all instrumental stuff.
Were you coming to these realizations together, or basically where are we in chronological relation to the two of you coming together and realizing that you wanted to produce together and had similar ideas and similar aspirations for where you were going to take your music?
Well, I mean, we sort of started making music around the same time, and we always had sort of the same tastes. I think we probably made tracks separately on our own for a few years, maybe like 2 years or something. It's hard for me to remember because we started so young. We were both like probably 14 years old, yeah. And then like a couple of years down the line, we formed our group Mass Productions, which is when we started doing the hip-hop stuff, and we did that one instrumental album, and that was probably a few years of that, and then sort of transitioned into this Ed's Dead thing together. But we've been making tracks together for a long time.
Even before we made tracks together, we were still showing each other our beats and kind of like giving our two cents on them and stuff like that, and talking about music a lot, which it all just influenced each other, I think.
Been out the count, from out the womb, out the school, right to out the house. And no one picked me up, they told me I would never get it. So I just took it, now I'm a motherfucking credit. Ain't never gonna change my course, full speed, television, I'm a racing horse. I ain't a kill, don't play the sport, I don't know what it is y'all waiting for. Nobody gonna hold your hand, I did it, I stole my chance, I took it and ran. I played them all, I took a stand, y'all small, y'all shook, y'all played the stand. Fuck all your plans, go ahead, go call your mans, might as well call the ambulance. I'll break you down, I'll take you out, y'all never really had a chance. I'm sorry, one more, we can take it to war. I don't know what the fuck y'all take me for. I get my mind, I take what's yours. I pull your blood from my support. I stayed hungry, nothing changed me. Call me Young Shady. I don't give a fuck either way, no pain. I've been involved, I played a part, I took the hits. They all wagging their fingers, hating, laughing, they think they break me. Half of them couldn't keep my pace if I was out there waiting. I always hear them doubting, they don't know shit about me. They won't respect you till you hopping in that brand new Audi. But if it's all they want, they got it, baby. Scenes present. I just hope they don't mind the heat off for the sake of heaven. I'm coming to get it out for blood. I am done pursuing. The time is now, so they focus on just how I do it. I'm out of place, out of hand, out of space. And this bottle in my hand got me feeling out my face.
Out for Blood from Zed's Dead featuring Omar Lynx. So, Hooks, I always like to pinpoint moments of realization or epiphanies or just major turning points in the lives and careers of my guests. What was the first quote-unquote dubstep you heard? Were you immediately like, oh shit, what the fuck was that? I gotta do that. Or did it take a while for that sound and that aesthetic to sink in?
The first dubstep tune I heard was a remix of One Is the Loneliest Number by Stenchman.
Stenchman, yeah.
When I heard it, I wasn't that impressed, but it's the guy that showed it to me was really, really into it. And I don't know, it seemed like some cool next thing. I don't think I started to like it for maybe another year when I started hearing tracks that I thought had something more to them. But then again, I didn't hear that track in the proper setting. I think the first time I heard dubstep that I liked, it was on like a big system.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it on a big sub, and you can really feel it. You understand it more. And I think I heard that on my computer speakers, and I was like, oh, it's just like a slow hip hop beat. Like I could have done it with this sample or something like that. But
yeah, totally. I've been with a lot of people who came to their appreciation of the music by me taking them to a show or we used to have this. We had this club. We didn't used to have it. Still exists. There's a club called Timeless in Toronto. That's just a little reggae bar, which has basically, it's a tiny little reggae bar, and you can fit probably like 80 people in there. But like half the wall is just this one massive sub. And it was the original dubstep party in Toronto had been going on for a long time, and it was just a small group of sort of like loyal people who'd show up every Wednesday. And I remember taking people to that club and then being like, oh, okay, I see what this is about now. Like I can feel it, you know?
Yeah.
So at first you had, I mean, maybe some inkling that this was a trend, but you had no idea that this would have lasting, you know, monumental impact on the scene. At first you thought, oh, this is interesting. just a little variation on hip hop.
Yeah. At first I thought it was a little variation on hip hop. Then later I thought it was kind of a slowed down drum and bass. And I think that's when I started to like it. Cause when people were mixing all sorts of cool noises into it, like Chase and Status, Eastern Jam was like pretty crazy at the time to hear you know, that kind of production, but on like a slower, more head noddy rhythm.
Sure. DC, you rose to prominence on the backs of these remixes. It's funny that you mentioned One is the Loneliest Number. You know, Rolling Stones, Moody Blues, Massive Attack. I mean, these artists could come from your parents' collection, or I don't even know how old your folks are. It could be in your grandparents' collections. Why do you feel like you have such reverence for the classics, or at least you're not just about whatever the hottest hip-hop flavor of the month is?
I mean, for us, it's really all about, or it really was all about samples. And I think coming from making hip-hop beats and just having that sort of digging in the crates mentality is what brought us to make those remixes. They each sort of came about in their own way, but they each came about from us just listening to music and being like, I like that section of the song, or I want to use that section of the song. It never really was like conscious about what was popular right now. I mean, with hip hop, you're sampling all sorts of old obscure shit. So for us, it was just like, we like that melody or like that thing. Like the Rolling Stones one, for example, I happened to find the acapella "Forgive Me Shelter." And that blew my mind that I could even find that on the internet. But when I did, I was like, man, I got to make a beat out of this. Mm-hmm. And that was really all there was to it. All the other tracks were just tracks we loved for whatever reason, or just liked, you know, the main riff from it, the main piano line, and we thought that we could do something interesting with it and also showcase our skills through making those kind of remixes.
So I guess it's fair to say then, Hooks, that your original approach to making dubstep, or say even electro house, was still very much coming from that hip-hop production aesthetic, very sample-based.
Yeah, I'd say it also had to do with capitalizing on the internet blogosphere, which at the time probably still is. Remixes of popular songs or classic songs get a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And we were looking to get exposure. So, you know, we remixed some stuff that was pretty popular, like Radiohead and, you know, Moody Blues.
Sure. So how do you go from having these viral remixes, getting a ton of hits on, say, UKF's dubstep channel, to touring North America with some of the biggest acts of the day? I mean, walk me through that progression, because I'm sure a lot of my listeners would like to know how they can do that, unless you don't want to give up your secrets.
I mean, there's no real secret to it. It just was kind of a natural progression. I think a lot of things lined up really well for us in terms of timing and in terms of marketing and getting our stuff out there.
Yeah, with marketing, it's just getting your tracks out there, and if people like them, you know, even if they didn't buy them, they're still going to be up on their iPod with all the other artists that are, you know, mainstream and that they bought and stuff like that. So they're going to come to your shows because you're another like artist that they listen to.
Yeah,
you're not just like a blog sensation or whatever. You're like legitimate.
I think it's important to approach sort of the scene nowadays, especially the electronic music scene, with the mentality that you're not going to really sell records right off the bat, at least. And mm-hmm. you know, your music's kind of there to like, you just got to get it out there, and the best way to do it is just to give it out for free and get it through the right channels. I mean, the channels are there right now. YouTube's done wonders for us. Hype Machine has done wonders for us. The blogosphere is definitely, all those things have helped push us to where we were. And it was way before even DJs were like supporting our stuff or we were getting tours. It was really just like a movement from the internet and from the ground up.
So your productions were getting a lot of attention, but did you have to turn to each other and say, shit, we have to like figure out how to do this live? I don't know if you already had a night or if you were already performing out, or it was like, well, we have this capital now with all this attention, we have to turn this into shows and public performances because that's the way we can actually make this our careers.
I think we anticipated that happening, and we started learning how to DJ like prior to even putting out our first Zed's Dead tracks.
We are much, much younger DJs than we are producers, and we always say that we're producers first and foremost, but mm-hmm. sort of as we were starting to get into electronic music, there was a period of time when we were just really into it, and we didn't really have the productions out there yet, and Zed's Dead hadn't even been launched, but during that period of time, we both started playing out and getting small gigs here and there, and so as Zed's Dead came around, we were sort of prepared to, you know, be DJs and be up there on stage and stuff like that. And then the whole thing was really just a big learning progression, which is, you know, taking us to the point we're at now where we feel pretty comfortable on stage in front of a couple thousand people or whatever.
Ooh, the storm is threatening my very life today. If I don't get some shelter, oh yeah, I'm gonna fade away.
Zed's Dead remix of Gimme Shelter from the Rolling Stones. Let's get back to the interview. So let's talk about that live show. I send my correspondents out to cover Zed's Dead in concert, and they stagger back days later with messed up hair and bad breath and random bruises. I mean, the shows have turned into all-out throwdowns. It's got to make you grin from ear to ear.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, it invokes a real type of energy and response from the crowd. To the point you almost get used to it, and like in a way almost get upset sometimes if you don't see that kind of reaction, which is something else. But like, yeah, it's, I mean, you see mosh pits, you see hands in the air all the time, and like
girls sitting on guys' shoulders, that's crazy. For yeah. I was like, sure. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like a real, real show, and you can sort of command the audience and just they'll roll with you, especially the real good crowds. I mean, you'll see hands in the air from front to back and everybody just going crazy. It's awesome.
You just got off this graveyard tour, which was something like 70 dates, and you're about to go out on the road again in support of the CP. I mean, that's got to be unbelievably exhausting. It's also got to take discipline discipline too. You can probably just cut loose every night of the week, but you wouldn't be able to maintain this absolutely rigorous tour schedule if you did.
Yeah, it does take discipline, that's for sure. It's tough not to party when you're out there playing for those kind of crowds and stuff, and the alcohol is flowing. I mean, I can't remember who it was, but some rapper had some line. He was like, he was talking about doing shows, and he was like, I wasn't gonna party until I saw how many people showed up to the show.
Classified,
yeah. And it's like, it's so true, you know what I mean? Like, every night you'll go into it and be like, oh, I'm so wiped, I'm not gonna drink tonight, I'm not gonna party or whatever, and then you walk out there and you see a sold out house and you're like, damn, I want to get my energy up, give them the best show possible. And sometimes that just takes on a few drinks, you know.
Hooks, do you have to balance your ability to go out, give it your all, and then also work on the bus between gigs and figure out between the two of you, you know, we can't just go out there and do the same thing every night. We got to work on our sets. We got to figure out what mixes we're going to throw in there. Do you feel a lot of pressure to go out there and give them something new every night? Or do you feel like, you know, these are your fans and they're going to roll with you whatever you do?
Yeah, definitely. I feel a lot of pressure to come correct and not play the same set all the time and stuff like that. Like, especially when we play in the same areas or same cities, like, we got to, like, switch things up, like, a lot and, you know, put new tracks in there, make new tracks for different occasions and stuff like that, work on planes. Yeah, so, yeah, there is a lot of pressure.
I can imagine.
Especially when there's that many people paying to see you. I feel... like, I gotta give it my all, definitely, you know, just to justify charging people to see me up there and stuff like that.
Sure. And along those lines, you've worked with Steve Aoki and Diplo, whose labels Dim Mach and Mad Decent are these huge tastemakers, and these guys are totally brilliant and polished producers. Did you learn anything from these masters, or is there so much internet work going on that it's difficult to truly absorb anything?
We haven't got a chance to actually work with them individually too much, but I mean, always looked up to them as producers and tastemakers and stuff like that. I mean, just listening to their mixes and their productions and stuff definitely was something that, like, got me probably, like, into electronic music in the first place. In a way, I look forward to, like, hopefully working with them in the future. But I mean, just having them, like, support our stuff and pushing it out there has been so huge for us in a lot of ways.
I just found out what Dim Mach means. I was watching Kill Bill, and there's the five-finger death punch, and I looked it up and see if it was, like, real or whatever. And apparently there's this thing in martial arts called the touch of death, which is called Dim Mach.
I just thought, no, I don't even know that.
Yeah.
Nice. That's kind of what electro house sounds like, the touch of death.
Yeah, it's like, it made it a lot cooler, because a friend of mine told me that they just made it up, and that it was really cool because he made it up, but it's a lot cooler now.
Come on!
Radiohead's Pyramid Song as remixed by Zedd's Dead. Their Adrenaline EP comes out next week.
So tell me about the new EP, Adrenaline. What was the big message that you wanted to convey with this four-track project? What did you want to prove about the Zedd's Dead sound, or how has your sound evolved? I imagine since this is like truly original material, this was basically a big step for you production-wise.
I think that like if you sort of look at our other releases by comparison, I mean, we've just been sort of mixing it up a lot recently, whereas the Mad Decent one was sort of like a little towards the experimental side of things. We had Rumble in the Jungle and Under Your Skirt, which was like, you know, a sort of drum step dancehall track, and then sort of an unclassifiable break track, which was sort of us taking things in a different direction. Then you had our Dim Mac EP, which was Ruckus the Jam, which was kind of just a straight up like club electro house banger. And I think with the Adrenaline EP, it's sort of, it's really dubstep, you know, like it's really rooted firmly in the dubstep kind of roots of things. Like the first track on the EP in the beginning is like very kind of like, it's sort of in a way, I think, goes back to like some of the older dubstep stuff that we listen to, and
deep and wobbly.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it goes into some other stuff.
I'd say with the exception of Hit Me, which is still dubstep tempo, but a little bit more of like a garage vibe kind of thing. It's all pretty much like it's a really dubstepy kind of EP, and I think because we sort of branched off with the last two ones and sort of experimented a bit and showed people that we can do other stuff and that we're not just dubstep artists, this one's sort of coming back to the firm like dubstep roots of things. And it's a UK release, which is good because we haven't gotten anything out over there in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. You've always had close ties to Toronto rappers or vocalists. Did you have any big guests on this EP, or were you trying to focus on making this a sort of classic Zedd's Dead album?
The Adrenaline EP is strictly instrumental stuff.
Yeah, except for a sample of the rapper AZ.
Yeah,
which we did manage to get clearance for, which is actually the first time we've ever gotten clearance to use a sample.
Ah, you're finally working within the system.
It actually took a long time and really delayed the release a long time, as those tracks
we've
been playing in
sucked.
Our sets for like a long time.
I guess that's the breaks. So you are you're heading out there for support of this Adrenaline EP. You're heading down under. You're going to New Zealand and Australia. You have another big year of touring ahead of you then?
Probably even bigger than this last one.
Yeah. We got the Australian tour. We have time off until the 20th. We got a big show in New York and then Quebec, and then we go straight to Australia, come back for a few weeks, and then we hit the road again doing North America.
Oh, God, try not to party too hard. We got to get those tunes out there and not have you guys lying in a ditch somewhere missing your bus.
Yeah, we'll try our best.
All right, DC, Hooks, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast. It was a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man.
A little moody blues from Zedd's Dead to wrap up today's show. Special thanks go to Justin Kleinfeld with Reflector Inc. And of course my guests, DC and Hooks. Holy cow, grab the Adrenaline EP when it comes out next week on Inspected Records. And make sure you stay tuned to theunce.com to figure out where in the world Zedd's Dead will be next. Win tickets for tons of Emancipator dates, Kill the Noise, Rezzo, and Evil Intent, and we've got two pairs, that's two pairs of VIP tickets to Buku Music and Arts Project in New Orleans at theunce.com/contests. All you've got to do is sign up. Please visit theunce.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum, and go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunce.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunce.com. Join the conversation at the UNS podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.